two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm on the phone with Justin Weicker, the senior gardener at the Provo City Center Temple. So what do you recommend first as far as getting a sprinkling system going?
Well, first of all, before you even start your controller, the recommendation I try and follow is, first of all, you go to one of your valve boxes and just manually open one of the valves, and then you go and turn your main on. And turn it on.
And you're talking about the main line.
If you turn it on too quickly, sometimes just the force of the water filling the pipe can actually push fittings right off of the pipe. And so by opening one of your sprinkler valves, it allows a release for that pent-up pressure, and it also allows you to tell whether your water is really on or not.
So after you've got your main line on and that valve is open, I'm assuming you turn the valve off?
Yeah, you would close it.
And then after you close that valve down, what is the next step?
Then you do a walk around your yard, everywhere that you know of where your main line and all of the lines to your sprinkler valve boxes go, and just check it for leaks, soggy spots, places where the grass is puffing up like a pillow or something like that. Just make sure there's nothing noticeable right off the bat. And then even if you want to, you can wait a couple of days before you do anything else after that, just to double check, just to make sure that there's nothing going on underground. Or we can easily proceed to the next step if there's nothing really noticeable.
Then what do you do after just walking the entire system?
All right. That is the time to turn your controller on and just manually turn each of your stations on and off from the controller. This just verifies that there's an electrical connection between the controller and the valve. Take a look at the sprinkler heads. Make sure that they're pointed the right way, that they're not spraying water out of places they're not supposed to spray water from. Make sure that they're all there. Basic alignment issues. Make sure they're standing straight up and down, pointed the right direction.
What's the next step?
Same as you did with your main line. Walk around just looking for places where it's gushing up out of the ground or inflating the grass or something like that. If you have drip lines, it's really important that you go around and you listen, because you won't necessarily see leaks, but you can hear them. Each time there's a leak, it takes pressure and water away from emitters that are further down the line, and you may have plants that are drowning on one end of your drip system and plants that are way too dry and dying on the other end. In fact, a lot of those, you don't really notice anything is really wrong until something starts to die or there's a mushy area that you're noticing.
What do you do with the clock next, or what do you recommend?
Getting a water audit done. You can do that by going to the Slow the Flow website. I believe that's slowtheflow.org. And if you're in a qualifying area, they will come out and they will do a water check for you and give you some recommendation. Or you can do it for free, yes. That's the great thing about it, is a lot of this is for free. Yeah, or you can go and check out the supplies from you, actually.
Extension offices often have some spare water cups that can be checked out, so you can do this on your own in areas that don't have the program in the county.
Now, the other thing the Slow the Flow website gives you is a watering guide. Keep in mind, they don't know exactly what your sprinkler specifications are. And so you may need to water a little more often or a little less often based on how your, you know, how your soil does, how the water reacts with your grass. The other thing a water audit will tell you is your efficiency of your sprinkler system. Now, this is important because it will determine the amount of time that you need to run your sprinkler system to account for the weak link, so to speak. If you have an average precipitation rate of a half an inch every hour, but only an efficiency of 60%, then you need to adjust your runtime a little longer so that you can guarantee you get at least a half an inch of water down for that station. And you would be surprised at what kind of things will affect the efficiency. This is why at the very beginning you go around and make sure all your heads are standing straight up and down, make sure all the nozzles are unclogged and stuff like that, because every single little thing, if a head isn't spraying at just the perfect designed angle, it's going to affect the whole system efficiency.
So we talked a little bit about smart clocks previously, and you had some tips and suggestions on those.
Basically, what a smart clock does is it accesses local weather information. It accesses plant and soil loss is for your area, or as localized as it can get based on how close the weather stations are. And it can automatically calculate how long it needs to run your sprinklers. Now, if you've had a water audit done, you just put in those numbers that you got from your water audit, and your clock will be running as best as it can based on the data that it has, because they take into consideration your soil type, your efficiency, and your average precipitation rate. Plus, they're able to track rainfall, the high and low temperatures, and wind speed and solar radiation are all counted in. And plus, there's also the added benefit of being able to stand out there in your yard and control it from your cell phone instead of climbing down into a crawl space underneath the house and using a pole to hit the start button on each
well,
station.
And I get that. I was just going to say that I really like the apps you can download to your phone for either Apple or Android, and they're just wonderful to work with. And the technology over the last 2 or 3 years, as far as being able to program the clock, is so much better than it was 5 or 10 years ago. And it was so tedious and hard 5 or 10 years ago that a lot of people didn't want these clocks. But now, if you're buying a new clock, there's just no excuse not to get a smart clock, because they really aren't that expensive, and it actually makes your life a lot easier. So any other tips or tricks to do before you really start getting hot and getting those sprinklers going?
For the moment, before it starts to really get hot, there's really no reason, unless you have a smart clock. If you have a smart clock, you can just turn it on auto right now and forget about it. But if you don't, I wouldn't start it yet until we start getting into the warmer part of the year around Mother's Day. But make sure that you're following the guidelines, watching your lawn, and just putting down a half an inch of water every time you water.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.